Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's up, Packers fans? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. As always, thanks so much for being here. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment, give those five-star reviews. Check out those Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube memberships if you have not already. Disclaimer again, I'm recording this one on Friday afternoon. Just have a busy weekend, a lot of soccer games, Mother's Day stuff, all that sort of fun activity going on. So recording a little bit earlier, again, Friday afternoon here. So if anything happened Friday afternoon, Saturday, whatever it might be, that's why I'm not covering it here. But we have a great episode for you nonetheless. A little sad, a little depressed, a little disappointed. It's our last draft deep dive episode today, breaking down all of the undrafted free agents. So it's, I should even note here, not quite a deep dive. Our deep dives take about, 20, 30 minutes a piece. If we were going to go through 10 undrafted free agents, 30 minutes a piece, it would probably not be a great experience for anyone, myself included. So we're going to try to limit these to about 3 to 4 minutes per player to try to keep it a little bit under wraps. I say that, and then we'll probably go for 7 hours here, but try to keep it as tight as possible. And we're going to dive in right freaking away. And we're going to start, I think these are just in alphabetical order. I just took them off of PackersWire.com and I was jotting them down. I think Zach had them in alphabetical order. So we're going to start with Jonathan Baldwin, the defensive back. We're going to go through basically bio, athleticism, athletic comps, PFF grade, my scouting notes, and then sort of what they can do for Green Bay, some things like that. So we're going to get through all of these, like I said, hopefully relatively quick. So buckle in, get ready. Here we go. Jonathan Baldwin, 5'11 and a half, 190 pounds, listed as a corner out of UNLV, spent 4 years at UNLV, a true senior. His age is unknown. A lot of these guys, we don't know the ages for, unfortunately. From an athletic standpoint, had a 5.16 relative athletic score. On the high end, had an 83rd percentile 10-yard split, but only a 28th percentile bench press, a 37th percentile vertical jump, a 38th percentile broad jump, a 31st percentile short shuttle, and only a 43rd percentile three cone. So the testing was not great for Baldwin. From an athletic comp standpoint, I don't know if many of you are going to remember this player. He spent a little bit of time in the NFL, I think with the Raiders, a couple other teams. Breon Borders, kind of a more, it's interesting because he's a little bit of a taller corner where Baldwin is not, but that was the athletic comp that the RAS site had for him. From a PFF standpoint, had 947 snaps this past year, a 77.9 grade, 73.4 run defense, 81.3 pass rush with a 74.2 coverage grade. In 2024, had 69 targets, 42 completions allowed, a 60.9% completion percentage, 456 yards allowed, 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, and a 76.7 quarterback rating when targeted. Some notes here, was not listed on the consensus big board, which had over 700 players. He was not listed on it, but was Dane Brugler's 103rd rated safety in this class, not 103rd player, not 103rd safety in this class. Now, again, interestingly, most places had him listed as a safety. When he signed, he was listed as a safety, but Green Bay is listing him as a corner and not a safety. He will play slot corner almost exclusively, would be my guess. I don't think you're going to see him outside much. Does have some safety versatility, but my guess is you will see him primarily in the slot. His strengths, he is best playing downhill. He's an attacking, aggressive player. He's got some versatility, right? He has played some outside corner. He's played in the slot. He can play some safety as well. So he does have some potential versatility as you kind of bring him into the program. Like I said, expect to see him in the slot, but could potentially play some other positions as well. A very willing tackler. He's just a gamer. Like, he plays the game the right way. He attacks physically. He has no limitations when it comes to playing downhill and tackling even bigger players than himself. He finds ways to consistently get involved with contested catches. Like, he just, it's not always the prettiest. It's not always the perfect technique. It's not always the most athletic. He just finds a way to be a good football player, play after play after play. He's consistently around the ball. He does a really nice job of reading the quarterback's eyes. Had multiple plays where he was in zone coverage, came off of his guy and went and made a play, which you love to see. He's going to be a great fit for Jeff Hafley's defense. He has the right demeanor for playing in the slot. Again, blitzing, attacking, downhill, no fear, this is exactly the type of player that you want as your slot corner. And again, has had those, coverage responsibilities in the past. So from a demeanor standpoint, fits perfectly in that role. He's got really good football instincts, plays with energy and intensity, attacks those wide receiver screens, which is such an important aspect of today's game as a defensive back. You better be willing to go and blow up some wide receivers and some players to go make that play, because that is a play we see more and more of in the NFL. He's a solid blitzer off the edge, a team captain, and had 382 special team snaps, including 72 on kick coverage and 81 on punt coverage. His weaknesses: his feet will get stuck in mud at times, need to keep them a little bit more active. He's not already a great change of direction guy, so don't want to keep those feet stopped so that it's even harder to change directions. Just a couple things he can kind of clean up there. Needs to do a better job of wrapping up. He's a very willing tackler. He, you know, again, plays downhill and aggressive and attacks people, but if he could wrap up, he'd have a little bit better of a tackling percentage. The tackling consistency, again, overall, and it kind of goes just with wrapping up, is there are times where you see him really, you know, hit somebody aggressively and physically and wrap up on it. It looks great. Other times seems a little bit lazy, meaning he's still coming downhill and playing hard, but that wrap up isn't there. And it just doesn't have quite the consistency that you'd like to see. So like to see that get cleaned up a little bit. He does not have huge bulk. Like, this is again, a 5'11 and a half, 190 pound slot guy, maybe safety. You can tell there are some athletic limitations here, and that's something that you're just going to have to live with if he's going to be a guy that plays in the slot. Again, he has the right demeanor. He has the right physicality overall, but there's just going to be some lack of overall bulk especially if he goes back to safety as well. He's just kind of a bit of a tweener, right? He's not exactly the perfect fleet of foot corner that you want on the outside, but he doesn't exactly have the bulk that you want on the inside. There's just a little bit of a tweener mentality to his game. And then I would say the biggest thing that causes some issues for him is his lack of length. Short height, shorter arms. There's so many plays where he's at defensive back, where he's in zone, and the quarterback's just able to layer it over him. And if he just had a little bit more length, he'd be able to bat some of those plays away, or even some of the plays in contested catch situations where if he was just a little bit longer, he'd be able to kind of bat away those balls or be a little bit more, you know, I think aggressive at the point of attack. So that lack of length definitely does cause him out on the some issues out on the field. And then I would say he has good speed, but he doesn't have great speed, doesn't have elite speed. So it's playable. It's NFL playable, but it's certainly not elite. And it's always going to be something that just kind of leaves you wanting a little bit more. What he can bring to the table for Green Bay: I think he does bring some potential slot depth, you know, probably as a practice squad guy, but somebody that if you did need to play in the slot a little bit, probably not going to be somebody that wins you games, but I don't think he's going to be somebody that loses you games. He's just a really good competitor at that spot. Again, some potential versatility, good competition for that corner room. Was their highest paid undrafted free agent. They actually gave him some legitimate bonus money. And I will think over time, he will develop into a really good special teams player as well. To me, very worthy undrafted free agent flyer. At minimum, I would expect him to be a practice squad guy with the potential for him to maybe fight his way on to the active roster. Next up is Brant Banks, 6'7", 306-pound offensive lineman out of Rice. Spent 3 years at Nebraska, then 2 years at Rice. Again, we don't unfortunately know his age at this point in time. Had no relative athletic score, but had 99th percentile height, but only 44th percentile weight, 62nd percentile vertical jump, 87th percentile broad jump, and a 30th percentile short shuttle. Were no real athletic comps of note for him. In 2024, per PFF, played 792 snaps with a 77.4 grade, a 77.4 pass block grade, and a 72.9 run block grade. In 2024, he had 526 pass pro snaps, allowed 2 sacks, 17 total pressures, and a 3.2% pressure percentage, which is pretty good overall, all things considered. He also was not listed on the consensus big board and was Dane Mugler's 93rd overall tackle in the draft. I think he's going to move to guard in the NFL, which will be a transition for him, but he was ranked his 93rd overall tackle in the beast per Dane Mugler. Some strengths: to me, he immediately looks the part of an NFL guard. He's got good size with a strong upper body, kind of almost got that like Richie Incognito, like SpongeBob SquarePants, like kind of square mold on the upper half. But he's got good agility, good size, good height, and again, a really strong upper body. He has the ability to get to the second level with ease, has good movement skills, and he's one of the most consistent cut blockers that I have ever seen. He is very consistent with it, especially for 6'7". In fact, this is an odd thing to say, but if you had to ask me, of like, hey, Andy, of anyone on the Packers roster, I need somebody to go out and execute a cut block right now. I might ask Brant Banks. He might be the best at it on the team. It was really impressive. Like, he just every single time got the guy to the ground, and it was like a really well executed play. It's not the most important thing in the NFL. If you're breaking down offensive linemen, their cut blocking ability is not one of the things that you immediately look for first, but he was really freaking good at it. Unfortunately, there's a lot of weaknesses as well. His blitz and stunt awareness was not great. He's got to do a better job of having awareness of where people are coming from, because there were too many times he just got overwhelmed because his head didn't get turned in enough time, or he just wasn't aware of the twist or the stunt or the blitz that was coming. So he has to do a better job of identifying those. He's got very choppy and inconsistent footwork, too much waist bending on tape, which again is a huge no-no along the offensive line. Struggles with quickness off the edge, needs to utilize independent hands more often. He'll go with two hands and either a player will swipe them away or he'll kind of juke them. And now he's just caught leaning, and it just gets completely caught in no man's land in that situation. So you want to see a little bit better independent hand usage. His lateral agility is not great. Needs to do a better job of staying square to the defender. He too many times gets a little bit out of place, which again allows defensive linemen to kind of attack his outside shoulder or just get an advantage on him. And then he does not do a great job of overall pass protection, and he's not a mauler in the run game. So he's going to have to find his niche a little bit. He's not bad necessarily at anything, but he's not like a plus-plus pass protector, and he's not a big-time run blocker. So he's fine at everything, but he's not great at anything. And like I said, he's going to have to kind of find his niche in the NFL. What he can bring to Green Bay, I think he should be a better guard than a tackle. So I like these projects, right? Because, all right, they didn't fit at tackle in college, at least not as at an NFL level. Can you move them to somewhere else and maybe make a reclamation project out of them? I like the idea. Let's see if he can fit at guard better and maybe be a much better guard in the NFL than he was a tackle in college. It's got a lot of technique work to clean up. That's going to be job number one. And I do think he has the potential to battle for a practice squad spot, although not to spoil some of the breakdowns later, I do think the other two undrafted free agent offensive linemen are just a little bit better than what you get here with Brant Banks. So interesting player, again, 6'7" with good movement skills. I'm intrigued. Moving him to guard has me intrigued as well, but I do think there's a couple other undrafted free agent rookies that maybe make a little bit more sense for the practice squad than Banks. Let's get to Kazir Brown. This is Bugs Brown, the big hulked up corner, played at 223 pounds as a corner, like just a ridiculous player. Green Bay is listing him as a safety. So 6'1", 223, a safety out of Florida Atlantic, spent 3 years at Maine and then 1 year at Florida Atlantic. He's 22 years old, had an 8.64 relative athletic score at safety, which is pretty impressive. 86th percentile athlete, 97th percentile weight, 97th percentile bench press. If you haven't seen this guy, he is yoked. Like, this guy is, as his muscles have muscles. Like, he, especially for a corner, I mean, we didn't know, by the way, if they were going to list him as like a linebacker, as a safety, as a corner. Like, he's a very unique dude. So safety is where they settled, but he is, like I said, a huge, strong upper body on him. 84th percentile vertical jump, 85th percentile 40-yard dash with a 4.53 40, only 44 percentile short shuttle and 44 percentile three cone. So the change of direction was a little bit of an issue. His athletic comp is Deshaun Shedd, if you remember him. Again, kind of that straight line sort of corner defensive back. We'll see that maybe that, I think that actually could fit pretty well for his overall kind of comp. In 2024, played 652 snaps, a 76.7 grade, 59.0 run defense, 49.7 pass rush, but an 81.7 coverage grade. So really, really good. At 333 coverage snaps, 55 targets, only 21 receptions. 38.2% completion percentage at 223 pounds at corner, 355 yards allowed. He did allow 5 touchdowns on those 21 receptions, 2 interceptions for a 75.9 passer rating. But again, only 38.2% completion percentage, which is absurd. Also was not listed on the consensus big board, was listed as Dane Brugler's 68th corner. But again, he's making that transition from corner to safety. Strengths: very physical at cornerback, which is, again, you know, making it make a lot of sense of why he's moving to safety. He is a very strong blitzer off the edge. He will blitz with physicality and with intentionality. He's not coming for fun. He's coming to get to the quarterback. I love the way that he attacks his blitzing responsibilities. Will absolutely rally to the football, plays the football and works to strip the ball loose. And it was successful in punching the ball out versus North Texas. We know that winning the turnover battle is so insanely important. He will look for those peanut punches and opportunities to rip the ball out. It does cause him to miss a tackle every now and again, but I do like the fact that he is going for the football. He finds a way to contest so many passes. Like, it is uncanny. It doesn't look like he should be able to, and I do think playing at a lower level probably helped him a little bit here, but he finds a way to contest so many of these balls. It's really impressive. His coverage ability at corner should really pay off for him at safety. He's got that very unique build. You might even be able to try him at some other positions as well. Again, maybe as an off-ball linebacker, as a sort of pseudo corner linebacker, or sorry, safety linebacker kind of hybrid. And I love his competitive demeanor. He's constantly looking for ways to attack and play physical, and I love that from him. His weaknesses, he will get a little bit grabby at the catch point from time to time. His change of direction is not great. It wasn't great at corner. It should be a little bit better for a safety, but you need to be able to take good angles and get that change of direction going for you. That's been a bit of a problem for him. He is transitioning to an entirely new position, only has 4 plays in his entire career as a free safety, and now that's what his position is going to be, so there is going to be a learning curve there. Had a 12% missed tackle rate in 2024, something you might be able to get a little bit more away with at corner, but at safety, you got to put the word safe in safety. You got to be the last line of defense. He's going to have to clean up that tackling ability. He does have 253 career special team snaps, but only 9 on coverage units, and that's where they're really going to want to use him. So despite him projecting as a strong special teams player, he only has 9 coverage unit snaps on special teams in his career, and that's probably where he's going to have to make a name for himself. He's going to have to learn to take better angles as a safety. That's something he struggled with a little bit at time at corner. And I'm not sure what his ideal position fit is, but he's going to have to find his niche, and he might just be a bit of an outlier. He might be somebody that's a little bit too big and straight line to play corner, might not have the instincts and the angle taking at safety, too small to play linebacker. He just might be in no man's land, but I'm loving the flyer here because I think he's a very unique piece, and I think you can try him in some different spots. What he can bring to Green Bay? The move to safety is a necessary move. I don't think he can stick at corner in the NFL. He's a unique player that wasn't going to make it as a corner, but is a very fun project to just try, right? He's something different and unique. I love trying unique and different in undrafted free agency. See if something sticks. Maybe it will, maybe it won't, but I love the flyer here as a fun project player at safety. I think he has the potential to be a very fun and versatile piece, and he projects as a core special teamer, even though he hasn't really done it. If I were sending a message to him, I would say embrace special teams. That should be his niche. Like, I think he has a unique enough ability that he could go out and be like a Pro Bowl special teams player if he really embraced it. It's so hard for these players who have been star high school players and starting corners and their entire career in college. And now it's like, all right, now I got to go play special teams. If he embraces it, I think he really has the mentality to be an unbelievable special teams player. My final thought here, embrace special teams, learn safety on the back end, see if you can make something of him, make something of himself at the NFL level, but embracing special teams is going to be his key to making the roster. Hey friends, Andy Herman here. Now that the draft is over, there's plenty of time to focus in on the basketball playoffs, hockey playoffs, and of course the heart of the baseball regular season. And you know what else it means? It means it's time to add your favorite players from the diamond into your Prize Picks lineup. Whether it's strikeouts, RBIs, or first inning runs, take your pick on more or less to get your shot to win up to 1,000 times your cash today. Right now, you can sign up for Prize Picks and get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's absolutely guaranteed. So do you think Aaron Judge is going to hit another home run this week? Or how about Juan Soto with more than one hit in his next game? Cook up your hot takes with your friends and win real money when you run your game on Prize Picks. This week, I'm going with Christian Yelich to finally get hot for Milwaukee, and I'm going to be keeping an eye on options for Aaron Judge as well because he is out of his mind right now. The best part is that you can download the app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly on your first $5 lineup. So what are you waiting for? Prize Picks, run your game. Next up, Tyler Cooper, 6'5", 302 pounds, an offensive guard out of Minnesota. He stayed at Minnesota his entire career. His age also is unfortunately unknown. 8.43 relative athletic score, 85th percentile height, 85th percentile vertical jump, 87th percentile broad jump, 85th percentile 40-yard dash, but only 31st percentile weight. So probably needs to put a little bit of functional strength on. No real athletic comps of note. Per PFF, had 590 snaps this past year, a 74.5 grade, 66.3 pass block grade, and 77.4 run block grade. In 2024, He had 339 pass pro snaps, allowed three sacks, 11 total pressures for 97.9 pass block efficiency and 3.2% pressure rate. But check out his stats from 2023. In 2023, had 313 pass pro snaps, allowed zero sacks, five total pressures. PFF gave him a 100.0 pass block efficiency and only a 1.6% pressure rate. 313 pass pro snaps, zero sacks, five total pressures in 2023, only three sacks over his past two seasons combined. He was 314th on the consensus big board and was Dane Brugler's 28th rated guard. Strengths, really good agility to pull and get to the second level. I really liked his movement skills. Also has the ability to recover if he does get beat. He's got the quickness to be able to reverse fields and get back and make still a play to try to prevent that player from getting to the quarterback. Plays with really good leverage, works hard on combo blocks. That might sound like nothing. It is something. So many combo blocks and double teams are just guys going through the footsteps of it and just not really putting their best effort forward. He does. He really goes out there and puts his best foot forward and executes those plays, and he works really well in tandem with other blockers on those combo blocks. He sells the screen really well and is able to get out in space and execute. So does a nice job of getting that player upfield, then releases into space, uses those movement skills, and is able to find his player and attack them on the second level to go out and get that block, springing the running back for extra yardage. Battles through the whistle, gets to his spot and seals. And that's, again, kind of who he is. He's not a mauler as a blocker, but he can get to his spot anywhere he needs to get to and then just seal the player out. A little bit Zach Tom light in that sort of capacity. Again, not a mauler, but can get to his spot and seal. It's what Zach Tom does really well. I'm not calling him Zach Tom here, but he has that kind of, that's the kind of blocker that he is. I'll put it that way. Incredible pass block win rate. Again, that is a very strong aspect of his game. Only two penalties in 1,322 career snaps. So he's not a holder. He's not a grabber, not somebody that false starts, very heady player. He was all Big Ten honorable mention in 2024 and was all academic Big Ten in 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023, and 2024. So a five-time all academic Big Ten member. Weaknesses, the lack of weight shows up. Again, needs to put on some functional strength if he wants to stay in the NFL. If he can, he can put on that strength, put on that weight, anchor a little bit better while keeping his movement ability and kind of do everything else the way he's already doing it. I think he's got a chance here. I really do. Mason Graham, the Michigan defensive tackle, just absolutely annihilated him on a bull rush. I mean, this is a player that never gave up pressures, and Mason Graham just went through him like he wasn't even there. That's more of almost a shout out to Mason Graham than it is a knock here, but it was a very impressive play from Mason Graham. Let's just put it that way. I did think that Cooper really struggled against Michigan. If you're looking for, you know, a tape to give you a little bit more concern, that the Michigan one will definitely do that. And they, of course, have all those great defensive tackles, including Kenneth Grant and Mason Graham, but he definitely struggled in that game. He's not a people mover. He has a lack of versatility. He played eight plays at tackle, but the rest are at guard. Maybe he could play a little bit at center, but he's probably left guard, right guard, kind of for the most part in the NFL. He is more of a finesse player, and I like to see him play a little bit more physical. He plays the game the right way, good demeanor, but if you're looking at sort of these undersized offensive linemen, it's kind of your old school, you know, Packers linemen that are good at blocking in pass pro, but aren't real people movers in the run game, but can seal. Like, he's exactly that type of lineman, probably needs to add a little bit more physicality to his game. And his hand strength, you know, when he gets those hands inside, it's just average. He doesn't have a huge punch. He doesn't have, you know, big time, you know, hand strength to kind of manipulate you in the run game. It's not bad. It's just more average. What he can bring to Green Bay. The first thing I'll say is Green Bay's added all of these big physical offensive linemen to the roster. He's not that. He's, again, sort of your more old school kind of Packers type that we've seen in the past, not this new big bodied offensive lineman that we've seen them go out and acquire this offseason. So that's kind of an interesting just aspect to this. I do think he has a real legit chance to make the practice squad. I think he's a developmental guy in 2025, add some functional strength next offseason, and really come in and maybe compete that ninth or 10th offensive line spot in 2026. Movement skills are there, solid production in college, just needs a little bit more core strength, play strength, and just needs to continue to work on his technique. But he's a really fun player and really liked what I saw on tape. That brings us to Tyron Herring, 6'1", 201-pound corner out of Delaware. Spent 2 years at Dartmouth and then 2 years at Delaware. Unfortunately, we also do not know his age here. Only a 4.27 relative athletic score, 90th percentile height, 90th percentile weight. So he's got very good bulk and size for the position, but only 28th percentile bench press, 17th percentile vertical jump, 43rd percentile broad jump, 25th percentile three cone, and 25th percentile short shuttle. So not the greatest athlete in the world. His athletic comp was Walt Akins, if you remember him from back in the day. In 2024, had 437 snaps per PFF with a 71.7 grade, 74.3 run defense, 58.6 pass rush, and a 70.5 coverage grade. In 2024, had 266 coverage snaps, 50 targets, 26 receptions, only a 52% completion percentage, 280 yards, one touchdown, three interceptions, only a 50.4 passer rating. So it was really good in coverage this past year at Delaware. Was 528th on the consensus big board, but was Dane Brugler's 59th graded corner. That was a East-West Shrine Game participant, so just noteworthy there. Some strengths. A very aggressive tackler that comes and plays the run game the right way. He plays the ball. He plays with a level of physicality and intentionality and intensity that I really, really like. This is the type of corner that Green Bay is looking for. We're going to hear it with all their defensive backs today, with Bugs, with, in this case, with Herring, and then, of course, earlier with Jonathan Baldwin as well. All of these guys are not afraid to come up and tackle, and that is clearly something that they are very focused on when they're bringing these defensive backs in to Jeff Hafley's defense. He had a great open field tackle on first-round pick Tyler Warren back in 2023, did a little rollout, got Warren in the flat. Warren got the ball, turned, and he was right there to make the stop. Submarined him, completely took him out, and made sure that he didn't get to the end zone on the play. This is another player that is consistently around the ball at the catch point and battling for everything. He's got really good instincts, is a great scheme fit. Multiple times, and I mean multiple times, that he just flat out ran the route for the wide receiver, which is a beautiful thing. That's exactly what you want to see. He has great anticipation, probably has done some film study, and knows how to get to the points where he needs to be that contested guy that is just contesting everything at the catch point. His 6'1 height really plays. We talked a little bit earlier about Baldwin not having that length, and it can cause issues. The 6'1 here was a huge advantage in this case for Tyron Herring. Only one penalty, one freaking penalty in 1,372 career snaps. That's absurd. Probably not enough, by the way. As a corner, sometimes it's kind of like within the job description that you might need to just hold a guy or pass interfere or get some, maybe a legal contact or whatever, just to maybe not allow a big play, but remarkable nonetheless. Only one penalty in 1,372 career snaps. Played 269 special team snaps, including 95 in kick coverage and 84 on the punt return team, and had a really nice showing in the East-West Shrine game. Some weaknesses, deep speed. That is one of my concerns for him. He's got okay, adequate speed, but not great deep speed. Change of direction and hip fluidity are definitely a problem. If you're going to want to play him in man coverage, it's going to be an issue. He can't quite flip his hips and stay with receivers the way that you would like. He's going to have to be his own corner. He's probably an outside corner only. I don't think you're going to be able to play him in the slot. I don't think he has safety versatility, so probably outside corner only, kind of like a Carrington Valentine. He played at a lower level of competition and he benefited from it. He contested a lot of plays that would not have been contested if he was going against a better quarterback. If the quarterback got the ball out on time and rhythm to these wide receivers, he was beat on a decent amount of them, but because the quarterback wasn't as good, he was able to get back in the play and bat away some balls. So he's going to have to be a little bit tighter in his coverage responsibilities in the NFL than what he was in college, because that same level of coverage, he's not going to be able to get away with at the NFL level. Limited overall athletically, which again is just going to limit his upside in the NFL. What he can bring to Green Bay, I think he's going to have a real special teams opportunity. I think he's a strong practice squad candidate. He's just a really solid corner who has, overall some athletic limitations, but fits well in Jeff Hafley's scheme. I'll say it again. This is somebody who's going to have to make their name on special teams first, but if he gets a chance, wouldn't put it by him. I think he's a real legit practice squad candidate, and I think he does have some potential upside as a corner in Jeff Hafley's scheme. All right, now we get to my favorite of the undrafted free agents, Amar Johnson, running back, 5'9" and a half, 205 pounds, a running back out of South Dakota State, spent all 4 years at South Dakota State. We also do not know his age, an 8.80 relative athletic score, 89th percentile broad jump, and a 97th percentile 40-yard dash with a 4.39 40. 43rd percentile height, 45th percentile weight. Not the biggest guy in the world, but he's not super small either. Like, he's a pretty normal running back size, just maybe slightly below average on both height and weight. His athletic comps is what I love here too. Three legit NFL players: Kenneth Walker, the Seahawks running back, Travis Etienne, and then Tevin Coleman, the old Falcons running back as well. So he's had some very impressive athletic, you know, comps in, you know, that were there that I think kind of fit him pretty well, actually. In 2024, had 508 snaps, an 83.5 grade, a 68.1 receiving grade, 85.6 rushing grade, 66.4 pass pro grade, and a 58.2 run block grade. Played 164 career special team snaps, primarily as a returner, 102 as a kick returner, 54 on the punt return team. He was not listed on the consensus big board, which, by the way, is insane. He definitely should have been on there. Was Dane Brugler's 48th ranked running back in this class. Some strengths: he runs with great patience. You could argue sometimes almost too much patience, but he's not rushing it. He's not pressing the hole. He's getting there when he needs to and then making the moves that he needs to be successful. But he's very patient to set up the blocks in front of him. His biggest strength to me: contact balance. He runs hard, he runs through contact, and he stays on his feet. Very good balance through contact and is able to continue those runs. There's one play where three players collide on him and he still continues running. Just a very fun player that, again, has some really unique traits to him. Not to mention that 4.39 40 speed. He is able, with his shorter size and smaller stature, to get through some incredibly tight creases. And that getting small through the hole is important, and he does it really, really well. He has a solid stiff arm and a solid jump cut. He's able to make some really bad plays look really, really good, meaning if it's not blocked up correctly, he's got some cutback ability, can reverse across fields, can make people miss, has a good stiff arm. So he makes some bad plays look really, really good. He's very slippery. He's surprisingly able to push the ball forward more than you would expect. He's not a power back by any means, but you'd be surprised. He's got good leverage. He's shorter, so he kind of gets under pads, moves those legs, keeps them churning, and is able to push that pile forward. He has a nose for the end zone and for the first down marker. He needs to get, if it's third and one, third and two, or if it's third and goal from the three, he's going to find that end zone or find those sticks. Like, he's very, very good at picking up first downs and getting in the end zone. And then he has some kick return ability as well, which is important, as again, the more you can do as an undrafted player, the better. Some weaknesses: he's not undersized, but he feels undersized. You watch him play and, you know, he's definitely smaller. He's not like a bigger back by any means, but there's definitely been many running backs. We've talked about some of them at the athletic comps that have been smaller backs that have been successful. He can easily exist at his height and weight. But when you're watching him, he just feels a little bit undersized. So it's not reality, but when you're watching him, there's not a ton of bulk there, right? So just whatever that's worth, take it for something or nothing. Your world's your oyster, but he felt undersized when watching him. Some easy drops out of the backfield, just needs to clean up his hands a little bit. Not a dynamic route runner, so he can catch some of the checkdowns, the screens, the, you know, little easy routes here and there, but he's not going to add anything legitimate as a route runner. He did play at a smaller school, so there's going to be a little bit of a transition with that. I do have some pass pro questions. He did it well enough, but I think with his size, I'm not sure he's going to be great at it in the NFL. Or if anything, it doesn't project great, but he has done a pretty good job of it in college. So at least worth noting or keeping an eye on. And his vision is a little bit hit and miss. There are times where it looks great. There's other times where he probably could be a little bit quicker to the hole, recognize it faster. Again, this might be where, again, maybe the patience is a little bit of a fault at times, but it just is a little bit come and go from a vision standpoint. What he brings to Green Bay: competition at running back, legitimately. Like, I think he's going to have some say in what that running back room could look like. Probably not as much as like a 53-man guy, but what I could see happening is that, let's say they really like him, and I think they could, and they think they can get him back on the practice squad, it may make it very less likely that Green Bay needs to put four running backs on the 53-man roster. And they might feel a lot better going with just three, knowing that they have him as a practice squad guy and can get him back there. So it could make somebody like Chris Brooks or Emmanuel Wilson a little bit more expendable via potentially a trade or maybe a release if they feel good about him. So again, I'm not saying he's going to make the 53, but his presence on the practice squad could make it so that they feel a little bit more comfortable, maybe only keeping three guys on the active 53-man roster. I'm very excited to see what he can do in preseason. I think he's a very fun player. And I do think that he brings something unique to the table here. So Amar Johnson, again, 4.39 40 guy, running back to keep an eye on from this undrafted free agent class. That brings us to Jamon Johnson. 6'5", 238 pounds, linebacker out of Kentucky, spent 3 years at Georgia, 1 year at Kentucky, is 23 years old, 8.99 relative athletic score, did not do any agility testing, 91st percentile vertical jump, 95th percentile broad jump, 88th percentile 40-yard dash, only 40th percentile in height, and 25th percentile in the bench press. His athletic comp was Blake Cashman, has a 63.7 grade in 2024 with 68.1 grade on run defense, 71.3 on pass rush, and 53.6 coverage grade. In 2021, had an overall grade of 80.9, 2022 was 73.8, 2023 was 71.4, and 2024 was 63.7. So his PFF grade has gone literally down year over year over year over year. Was 263rd on the consensus big board and was Dane Brugler's 25th graded linebacker in this class. I think he's a pretty impressive blitzer, and he blitzes with some physicality behind him. He's not the biggest guy in the world, but there's, again, some intentionality and some purpose behind him as a blitzer. I think you can use him as a quarterback spy. He plays under control with pretty good instincts overall. I think he has a very natural feel for the game, takes good angles to the football. Most people noted that they didn't think he had good enough closing speed or the ability to get sideline to sideline, but I saw multiple plays on tape where he was able to get sideline to sideline. I think the closing speed was maybe a little bit more hit and miss, but I saw it on tape. I think it is there. I think he can make those plays when he needs to. So I was a little bit more bullish on that than some other people were. Plays with really good timing and anticipation. He's not afraid to take on blocks as best as he can. He's not, again, the most, like the biggest, most physical guy in the world, but he's willing, which I love to see. He had 315 special team snaps in his career, and he did call plays at both Kentucky and Georgia. So he was a very good communicator pre and post snap. Weaknesses: short frame, lacking length, taking on blocks and closing passing lanes is an issue. So taking on blocks, just not having that great length or that arm length can really limit you. And then in passing lanes, when you're shorter, you know, think of you in like the middle of the zone defense. The taller you can be with the bigger wingspan, just harder to get those balls over the top of you, right? So, you know, if you got a big 6'4 linebacker with great arm length, it's tougher to throw over the top of him. When you're 6'1 and don't have great arm length, it's a little bit easier. So he's just lacking in overall length and the ability to, again, take on those blocks and close down some of those passing lanes. He plays physical, but his stature only gets him so far. Again, he's only so big, which is going to limit his overall physicality as a take-on linebacker and just as a overall tackling linebacker. Wanted to see a bit more intensity and urgency out of him at times in 2024. I think there's a player there. I just need to see him take that next step in really physicality, intensity, purpose. Didn't think it was always there. Didn't think it was always, you know, foot to the gas in 2024. I think there's a higher level of effort that he can get to, and hopefully he can do that now that he was an undrafted guy and is going to have to really earn everything moving forward. While he played those 315 special team snaps in his career, he has only 5 special teams coverage snaps in 2024 and only 21 in 2023. So only 26 coverage snaps over the past 2 seasons combined. He's not super fluid in coverage. He's lacking overall upside due to third down limitations and coverage ability. And he's going to have to really make his mark on special teams and find his niche as a early down linebacker if he's going to want to make a team. He's an early down defender who lacks size, which is not usually a great place to be in. If he's going to make the team, it's going to be on special teams, and he's going to have to find that role on defense. I think he has a legitimate opportunity to make the team, but it's going to have to start on special teams. There's only 7 linebackers on this team. As mentioned with the Simmons breakdown yesterday, Isaiah Simmons, Christian Welch, and Jamon John probably fighting for maybe 1 or 2 spots on that linebacker room, but he's a fun player, just going to have a little bit more intensity, physicality, and going to have to find his niche on this team. We've got 3 guys left. Let's do JJ Lippe next. This is another really interesting player. I just want to make sure I got everything listed here. There we go. Sorry, I just lost my spot there for a second. All right, JJ Lippe, 6'5", 302-pound guard out of Northern Illinois. Played all 5 years at Northern Illinois. We do not know his age. 5.67 relative athletic score, 87th percentile height, 31st percentile weight, 12th percentile bench press, and 32nd percentile 40-yard dash. His athletic comp is Dominic Puni, and I really like it. He is not Dominic Puni, who was awesome as a rookie last year in San Francisco, but he is kind of like Dominic Puni light. And again, I really kind of like that comp for him. In 2024, played 963 snaps at a 68.3 grade, a 64.3 pass block grade, and a 67.7 run block grade. In 2024, he had 478 pass pro snaps, one sack, 16 pressures, 99.4 pass block efficiency with a 3.4% pressure rate. Only six sacks allowed in his career in 1,427 pass pro snaps. So pretty darn good in that regard. Was not on the consensus big board, was Dane Brugler's 46th graded guard. His strengths, only one penalty in 2024 and five total in his career. If you want to go and look for him or look for a game that shows a kind of proof of concept, go watch his Notre Dame tape from last year. Thought he really looked the part, really brought his A game, and kind of showed you of like, okay, he can hang with the big boys. Consistently plays through the whistle. Again, as mentioned, only one sack allowed in 2024. Consistent pulling and getting to the second level. Love his movement skills. It feels like this matters to him. He plays with a level of consistency and just demeanor that would show to me that this is something that he continues to strive for and work for. If you're looking for a UDFA guy, you better get somebody that's hungry, willing, and ready to compete. He feels that like that type of guy on tape. And again, I really kind of like the Dominic Puny comp. Not to that level, but again, kind of Dominic Puny light. Man, if he can be anything like him, that is a huge win for JJ Lippy. Weaknesses, he will get caught leaning and defenders will use it against him. So a little bit off balance from time to time. Lateral quickness really gives him problems. So guys that can move quickly from side to side, give him a quick move one way and then counter the other, he really struggles with that. Has inconsistent hands, a lack of versatility. He did play a little bit of right tackle, but struggled there. He's probably a guard only, but I do wonder if maybe he could move to center. That intrigues me a little bit. Did play a little bit of center at the All-Star game this past year. He needs to be more aware of twists and stunts. That was something that gave him some trouble as well. But I really think he's a hungry and agile interior offensive lineman. I am very intrigued to see if they could maybe try him at center to see if that might work. I do think practice squad is a legitimate option for him. And I think you could see him battling with Brant Banks and Tyler Cooper for maybe one or two practice squad spots along the interior of that offensive line. Overall, really like how he plays, a legitimate left guard center option. And him and Cooper seem the best options from this group to make it as practice squad players along the offensive line. That brings us to the big boy, Nazir Stackhouse. 6'3 and a half, 327 pound defensive tackle out of Georgia. Spent all 5 years at Georgia, is 23 years old, had a 6.06 relative athletic score, including 80th percentile at height and 93rd percentile in weight, a 42nd percentile vertical jump, and a 27th percentile short shuttle. His athletic comp was Devon Hamilton, the old Ohio State defensive tackle. In 2024, he played 582 snaps, which is pretty impressive for a nose tackle, by the way. 75.7 grade, 82.4 run defense, and 61.5 pass rush, which is also a pretty good pass rush grade considering he's a true nose tackle. He had 323 pass rush snaps in his career, this past year, only one sack, only 10 pressures, a 5.0 win percentage, and a 3.1% pressure percentage. 31 would have been amazing, but 3.1% pressure percentage. He had four sacks in 916 pass rushes in his career, and 32 pressures, which gave him a 3.5% pressure rate in his entire career, which, by the way, is not great. But that's not what he's meant for. He is a run defender. You're not expecting a ton of pass rush ability out of him. 246th on the consensus big board was Dane Brugler's 26th ranked defensive tackle, ahead of Brinson, by the way. So Warren Brinson was 28th on Brugler's list. Stackhouse was 26th. Of course, they drafted Brinson. They get Stackhouse as a UDFA. Brugler had a 5th to 6th round grade on him in his draft guide. Strengths, I actually like the movement skills for his size. It's not always the sexiest, but he can actually move laterally pretty well when he wants to. He gets in passing lanes, uses his long arms to knock down passes. When he wins the leverage battle, he looks really impressive. He will stop runners in their tracks. So if a running back gets there and he gets his hands anywhere near, it's just done. He's going to get that guy to the ground pretty quick. And I do think there's legitimate upside and ability to be a true run-stuffing nose tackle with continued work and consistency on his technical skills. His weaknesses, he's got to find a way to anchor better. For his size, he should be unmovable. Watch the game against Tennessee Chattanooga, and Tennessee Chattanooga is moving him all over the place. That's concerning to me. That to me is why he probably went undrafted and was not a draftable run stuffer in this specific draft class. He was moved too easily for his size. He has extremely limited pass rush ability. He is a one-trick pony, and currently that trick isn't good enough. If he's going to have to hold up at the NFL level as a true defender, he's going to have to do a much better job of anchoring and winning the leverage battle at the NFL level than he did in college. At times he looks agile, but other times he looks very uncoordinated. I wanted to see him reset the line of scrimmage, and he pretty much never did, and he's very slow off the ball. So here's the thing. He is a run-stuffing option that could legitimately be a really plus run defender for Green Bay down the road. He is going to have to master the art of nose tackle if he wants to make something of himself. If I were Green Bay, I would not spend a single second on him as a pass rusher. Weaponize him. Make him a great run defender. That's all I care about. Just make him into a 10 to 12 snap per game, legitimate, really tough anchoring run defender that can take on double teams, not get moved. If he can do that, he has value. Right now, it's really hard to find value for him because he's not a good enough run defender and he brings nothing as a pass rusher. So he's going to have to find that niche, find a way to weaponize him. And if you can do that, he'll have a chance. But until then, until he gets more technical and more stout at the point of attack, he's just a big body that doesn't do his one really good thing good enough to make him a 53-man rosterable player. Last but not least, Jaylen White, 6 foot, 205-pound running back out of Georgia Southern, spent all 5 years at Georgia Southern. We do not know his age, 7.73 relative athletic score, 84th percentile height, 82nd percentile broad jump, and 84th percentile 10-yard split. Only 45th percentile weight, so he's tall and lean. He's an interesting back to look at, kind of unique when you look at him at first glance. 32nd percentile short shuttle as well, that change of direction isn't great. No real athletic comp for him. In 2024, which again kind of shows the uniqueness of who he is, in 2024 had 447 snaps, a 75.7 grade, 52.3 receiving grade, 82.3 rushing grade, 41.7 pass pro grade, and 49.0 run block grade, was 619th on the consensus big board, and was Dane Brugler's 39th ranked running back. His strengths, he's got a really good jump cut and a juke move. He showed that off. There's one play where he goes straight, looks like he's going to go right up field, jukes to the outside, and then gets to another defender like 5 yards up the field, gets him juking or like cuts into and then jukes outside, leaves him in the dust, gets to the third level. Another player there fakes inside, jukes outside, like does it back to back to back times, gets a really nice gain on the play. So he's got that move down to a T. Was a team captain, very creative runner in tight spaces, like to the point where you watch him and you're like, I didn't see that coming. Like how did he maneuver that? What did he just do? And then he had to rewind it and kind of watch it again. So I do like his creativity in tight spaces. I mentioned those jump cuts and those juking, you know, moves that he's got. He has great acceleration out of them. So he kind of hits it and then boom, there's a quick acceleration after. It's a very special trait. You don't necessarily see that 84th percentile 10-yard split. It shows up, you know, very quickly. It's a very unique trait to have where you hit that jump. Usually you hit the jump cut and then there's almost like another hesitation after it. He will do the cut and then there's a very quick acceleration to get around the corner right after it. It's a very unique trait. I like it. Has his own unique style and rhythm. Something I noted when I was covering or when I was watching Ashton Jeanty, not comparing the two, by the way. But what I loved about Ashton Jeanty is like, he's his own dude. And so many of these really talented running backs, like the best of the best, they usually have their own unique style, their own, like there's just something unique about them. And I love that about Ashton Jeanty. Not to the level, obviously. I'm not calling Jaylen White the next great running back that's got it. Like everyone's going to be copying Jaylen White's style, but he's got kind of his own unique way of doing things. And he's got his own rhythm, his own timing, his own thing. And I like it. It's something a little bit different. It kind of throws people a little bit off guard. He's very creative with it. And I like his style. It's very fun. Also, he only has 2 career fumbles and none in 2024. So he does a really great job of hanging on to the football. His weaknesses, he's not great in pass pro, although he does project as somebody that should get better at it over time. But right now, he is not good at it. He plays high, but he makes it work for him. So usually you want to play behind your pads a little bit more, but he doesn't do that. But again, he kind of makes it work for himself. He's not going to really bring anything as a route runner. As mentioned, needs to do a better job of running behind his pads. He only has 10 special team snaps in the last 3 years combined and only one coverage snap. So he's going to have to find a way to be a little bit more useful there. And he's going to have a very tight window as a runner only. These are the least valuable running backs usually because everyone's good at running for the most part, right? He's a good runner. Get the ball in his hands. He's talented. He's good. But no special teams value, no pass pro value, no receiving back value. So if you are going to be a runner, like Emmanuel Wilson has found a way to wiggle that for the most part. Now he's got better at some of the other stuff, but he found a way to get in there. But there's only so much that he can do because there's only so many times you want him on the field because his main niche is just as a runner. He's good with the ball in his hands, but everything else is underwhelming. That's kind of the same thing here too with White, is that he's a good runner with the ball in his hands. No question about it. I like him. I like his style, but he's going to have to figure out ways as a pass protector, as a pass blocker, or as a special teams guy to make more of an impact. Or it's a really tight rope to walk to try to make it to an actual 53-man roster in the NFL. That's what I got. 10 undrafted free agents. That was lightning round. We're at 48 minutes right now. It's about right, about 5 minutes per player. I meant to finish up here. So with White, he runs hard, good with the ball in his hands. We'll have to master something else if he wants to make it. He's a good football player. I like him, but he's going to have to develop that extra element to his game if he wants to make it. To me, the best opportunities to make this team, Jonathan Baldwin as a potential, sort of special teams defensive back, just based more on the lack of depth in that corner room, right? You've got Kamal Haddon, Kalen King, Jonathan Baldwin, those sort of guys battling for that maybe last roster spot. I think Baldwin will be in the conversation. Jamon Johnson, there's only 7 linebackers. They might keep 5 or 6, at least 5, maybe 6. So he's going to have a chance at linebacker. And then yes, even though Nasir Stackhouse, I didn't love his tape, if he can start mastering run defense a little bit better, he will have an opportunity to make the team as more of a run stuffing nose tackle. Player I was most impressed by was Amar Johnson, the running back. Really liked his game. Interested to see what he can do in preseason if he can kind of make a name for himself. We usually have a running back we fall in love with every year. This year, I just have a feeling it might be Amar Johnson. Overall, good class of undrafted free agents. Impressive, good football players, good instincts. I like what Goody and company was able to do. I'm not sure you have any like high-end players here, but I think some players that if you needed in a pinch could come in and help your football team, and a lot of guys that I'd really like to see make it to the practice squad. That's going to do it for me today. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wayne, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Ritaka, Jay Zimmerman, B Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Dylan Patscott, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Jay Koner, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winklesingle, Jen Wright, Ian Hewell, and Matt Geiger. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.